When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. What a wild night it was last night in the NBA playoffs. You had the great performance by Jimmy Butler, 56 points and 9 rebounds as the Heat take a commanding 3-1 lead. And then LeBron James and the Lakers in overtime also take a 3-1 lead as LeBron was magnificent at the age of 38, 117, 111 winners. And now joining us is a great job calling all the games in the postseason. NBA on TNT was on the call for Heat Bucks last night. And that, of course, is Kevin Harlan. Kevin, just what a performance last night, and that's probably an understatement by Jimmy Butler. A day later, how do you kind of put it into perspective?
Zach, good being on with you. It was phenomenal. Fourth highest scoring total for a game in a playoff, and he willed them. No one else was really performing, even like just as a good, wingman. I mean, they didn't get the kind of scoring from Adebayo. Actually, they haven't now for two straight games. No one else is stepping up, and Jimmy Butler had to carry the team. But you expect performances like this from all-stars like him. LeBron showed a little bit of that, certainly in that Laker win late last night in overtime. Morant did that earlier on with his 45-point performance, even though they lost that game to the Lakers out there. But you count on these big-name players to deliver, and for the most part, they are. But Miami is an interesting team, probably not as low as an 8 seed, and that's a little deceiving, I think. But when you take a closer look at the team, they've got 7 undrafted players on there, and that's the most of any team in the playoffs. So they're relying on a lot of no-name players and to kind of fill in the gaps and let Butler and Adebayo and thrive, and certainly Jimmy did that last night. And even with Adetokounmpo, and even with Milwaukee basically at full strength, they couldn't get it done. And Miami's got a 3-1 lead, and we haven't seen many 8 seeds over a 1 seed with this kind of lead this late in the series. It's pretty fascinating to watch.
Now everyone's going to ask the question: can Milwaukee come back from being down 3-1? I know a few years ago in the NBA Finals, they lost the first two games and won in 6. As much as I like this Bucks organization and this team, Kevin Harlan, with Jimmy Butler only needing one more win and potentially having 3 shots to do so, I just don't see how the Heat are going to lose 3 straight.
Well, you would think that. Miami has kind of defied the odds all season long. Really, since the All-Star break, they've kind of gotten everybody back. They've had some injuries they've dealt with. Significant. Lowry was out for a long time. Robinson was out for a long time. And they're just kind of getting themselves back to what they envisioned. And that has proven to be a pretty successful recipe for them, the way they play. And their coach, Spoelstra, is just he is terrific at devising different fivesomes on the floor to combat whatever a team as good as Milwaukee may throw at them. Milwaukee have the best record in the NBA. When they've got Giannis, they're a special team. They're not getting much from their point guard, Drew Holiday, right now, and that has hurt them. A couple games in a row now, he has been below his averages, and that's got to be a concern. All in all, though, I would agree with your statement that, for just one more win looming, you would think Butler could come up with at least one more chance to stick a dagger in the Bucks, and it may happen. I don't know if it'll happen tomorrow night. That's going to be a very tough crowd welcoming Giannis back and getting that team back home. But they've got to play again in Miami, and that could be rugged. We do know Miami has won in Milwaukee. They did it game one. So it can happen. And they split the season series 2 wins apiece. So there's precedent there. Miami's got to be brimming with confidence. And you would think that this could be one of those rare occasions when an 8 beats a 1, and it hasn't happened since 2012 when Philadelphia, led by Coach Doug Collins, and they had actually, I think, Drew Holiday on that team with Andre Iguodala, beat Chicago, and that was the series where, of course, Derrick Rose blew his knee early in the series, and Chicago wasn't the same when Rose was gone.
Kevin Harlan, as a broadcaster, and you're one of the creme de la creme broadcasters in the business, you've seen everything pretty much from LeBron James. He's 38 years old. Last night, 22 points, 20 rebounds, leads him to victory, you know, gets it into overtime and all that. You get set now for this game five on the call. Just what else is there to prepare at this point for you when it comes with LeBron, seeing this guy be number one for so many years?
I think just rest, Zach. You know, he was a 2020 guy last night, oldest player in the history of the NBA to ever put those kind of numbers together at 38 years old and 115 or 116 days, whatever it is. I mean, we've just never seen the likes of him before, put up these kind of numbers and this kind of influence on a team. And it is a team that is following his leadership. And I've always thought that in the playoffs, coaching and individual leadership from players is at its premium. The huddles, the practices, all the film sessions, these players are really delving into the books and watching the tape and listening to everything these coaches are saying. And they are hanging on to every word and every action a player like LeBron James has to offer, much like Butler's offering to Miami. And his influence is so far-reaching and so commanding that I don't know how the Lakers are not going to win this series, even against the great Morant, and Memphis clearly is debilitated. Steven Adams is everything for the Grizzlies. And as great as Bane has been, he struggled the first three games of the series. He had a good 36-point game last night. But they miss Steven Adams. They miss his rim protection. They miss what he does in the lane. They miss his, you know, basic double-double numbers that he puts up with offense and rebounding. And they've not been able to really be the same team without Steven Adams in the middle. So if AD can come in and give them a solid performance, and he wasn't solid last night, but he was good enough, and LeBron is LeBron, this baby could be over tomorrow night, and the 2 seed could fall, and the 7 seed will get ready, the Lakers, for either Sacramento or Golden State. James and his far-reaching ability on the floor and off the floor and commanding this team has almost been unparalleled. Rarely do you see it, but we're lucky enough to see it now.
Kevin Harlan, let's also be real. I thought Dylan Brooks made a massive mistake running his mouth about LeBron, and now he's trying to play the victim card, blaming the media for making him out to be a villain. I just don't get what Dylan Brooks is trying to accomplish here.
Well, and I don't think the team did either. Quite frankly, I think that his words were just the exact kind of fuel that a guy like James is looking for. You know, Michael Jordan famously would look for the slightest knock on his game or on him to motivate him. And LeBron is the same way. You get to that stage in your career, Zach, as you know, these players will look for any little shred of disrespect to take and fuel them. And there's no doubt that James did that. And ironically enough, it was over, Brooks, where James tied the game last night with the drive and then eventually won it in overtime with another shot. And even the defensive player of the year, Jaren Jackson, couldn't stop LeBron. But that was all the fuel the Lakers needed. Now they're so locked in. They're a rested team from winning the play-in against Minnesota. And right now they just seem to be one of those teams that could really be on a magical run. And I don't know that Memphis has got enough wherewithal now, unfortunately for the Grizzlies, to get back at them. They're in a deep hole, and it's going to be difficult.
I got two more left for Kevin Harlan before we let you run. That Warriors-Kings series has been phenomenal. Kings had a chance. Warriors let him back in, and then Barnes couldn't hit the shot. Now we'll see what happens with the Aaron Fox for Game 5 coming up tomorrow night. How do you think this Warriors-Kings series is going to wrap up?
Well, Fox's injury is interesting. I did see just as I was getting off the plane a couple minutes ago, Zach, that he says he wants to play. He feels he can play even with the fractured finger. So that will be worth watching. He is an emerging superstar in this league, clearly, and a player that has been difficult for Golden State to stop. You wonder when you get to this stage of a series, where now three games remain. If some of that championship pedigree doesn't take over that confidence, King's team has not been there for a long time, but it is a three seed. We get that. But sometimes there's got to be a little bit extra that pushes you over the top and gives you that kind of confidence. And as a defending champion, the Warriors may have that. But it's going to be a dynamite next three games to watch. I can't wait.
Last one for you, Kevin Harlan. Just got to squeeze in one football point. The Jets are going to be getting Aaron Rodgers. Saw the details of the trade come out yesterday. The draft is coming up this week. You look at the Jets with Rodgers in a loaded AFC. How dangerous do you think the New York Jets could be with Rodgers as their QB?
Well, the good news is that Rodgers will be engaged because I think he feels he's got a lot to prove. And the change of scenery will do him, I think, well. And I'm excited to see how that team, which had a lot of good parts to it and still does and is building even now, has maybe what will be the final piece for a good run. I think that him being engaged is everything. And if he stays healthy and he takes great care of his body, he's going to be a difference maker. So I think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers at the very top of his game. He's only a year removed from being the MVP. He was injured last year. We know that with the broken thumb. They didn't have the kind of people around him that a guy like him deserves, and that was on the Packers, quite frankly. Now there are reports that Rodgers was not engaged and was not necessarily a full participant in a lot of the offseason things that make the quarterback offensive weaponry relationship so important. I think it'll be different this year. I think he's going to come in incredibly motivated. I think that's exactly what he was looking for at this stage of his career. I think he likes the challenge of a new conference, new division, new teammates, but there's a lot of quality around him. And I think he's kind of hanging his hat on that. And I think he's going to come in with a terrific season.
Have a great call tomorrow night, Kevin Harlan. Always appreciate your time.
Zach, always fun talking to you, my friend. Take care.